This is Twit.
All right, so why don't we talk about this other device, the LG Velvet. So this is one of the first times on this show where the three of us have basically received a review device on the same device at basically the same time. So we're like, why don't we do like a three view of the LG Velvet? So that's what we're here to do. And there's no easy way to do this and not have it end up being like super duper long, right? Because we each have thoughts and opinions, and there is a lot of ground to cover, but we've also have talked about this, the LG Velvet, on the show in the past. So we were talking about just kind of like breaking it down into three areas and kind of sharing a little bit of our thoughts in each area and then giving it a score and then averaging the score, because why the heck not? I mean, it's different. Let's just go with it and see what happens. So I don't know. Who wants to go first? Do we want to start with kind of the design and the feel of the device?
Yes.
Because that seems like an obvious place to start.
Yes.
Flo, you were the first person to say yes, so go first.
Well, I would like to just point to the fact that this opens up like a little book.
Well, you're looking at it with the dual screen case.
Yes, I am. So you do have to purchase the dual screen case for an extra $100, but it's a little different this time around. It's a tiny bit thinner. It's a little more sleek. It's also got like this open ended spot right here for the buttons on the right side. It's got kind of this slightly revamped window here. And one very little cool thing is the always-on display. Let's see if I can get it to... Aha, I don't know if you guys can see that, but you can upload your own little like picture. And so I put a little Sailor Moon GIF, which is kind of neato. I really was having fun with that. I really had fun just kind of going in and trying to find an aesthetic for it, because that's kind of the first thing I do when I get a phone. And I'm really feeling the silver sheen of this. And it really... It feels like I might upset some people by saying this, but it really kind of feels like an older Samsung phone I've put my hands on before, just in terms of like the thinness, how big it is, how much hand space it takes up. It feels like a Note, a Samsung Note.
It really does. I completely agree. I'm happy that you said that, because I had that down in my notes too. It's definitely has a feel in a couple of areas, and we'll talk about it in performance as well. Well, no, sorry. This is firmly in the design camp. From a hardware design perspective, I do feel like it kind of feels like a Samsung phone as well, kind of like maybe a couple of generations older Samsung device, which is not a knock at all. Like, I think if there's one really strong quality about the LG Velvet, it is the design of the device. It's really well designed. Although you can see, picks up a lot of fingerprints, but doesn't with a glass back? So
I was just about to say that, like, I am very impressed by the design and the feel of it. When I first got it and I actually handed it to my wife, and she was like, oh, that's light, you know, and she's like, does it even have a battery? And so we went into the specs, and like, and actually comparing it to my OnePlus 7 Pro, the OnePlus 7 Pro feels like a brick compared to this. It's so light. It feels nice, but that silver glass back, you know, the combination of the glass plus the silver backing makes, you know, almost accentuates the fingerprints, you know, and the assumption is that you get a case. Like, in the little kit that we got, we got the dual screen case, but we also got kind of a fashion case that goes around it with a little holder. And so if you are throwing a case on, you won't really care about it. But if you're someone like me who doesn't like cases, you know, you got a smudgy device. So I gotta knock it for that. Like, that's my only knock, but all the phones are going to get that. But everything else, I like the placement of the buttons. I like the feel of the buttons. I like that they are physical buttons that tap in and you feel the click when you do it. And it's a long phone. We talked about this when we first got it. I mean, this is, you know, comparing this right now on the video to my OnePlus 7 Pro, you know, you can see I've got a case on my OnePlus 7 Pro, and you can see how much higher it is than that, which I already thought the OnePlus 7 Pro was a long phone as it was. This aspect ratio is enormous. But given what you can do with it, and especially if you have the dual screen case for gaming or for media consumption or productivity, it becomes a very versatile device. So I like it. I like the design and feel of it. I give it definitely a good score. So we should probably explain what we're doing. So we're going to be scoring everything on a 1 to 5 rating, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the best, and then we'll tally it up and give it a total score. So yeah. Who is going to be tallying amongst us? I'll do the tallying. How's that?
Okay.
So Jason, design and feel, what score do you give it?
I give it a 4, I'd say. Maybe would have scored it a little bit higher, except one thing that I didn't mention is I just don't like the LG skin. And I feel like that's kind of part of the design and feel is kind of the interaction with the skin. Mm. And I feel like it's really heavy handed. When I talked about other ways that it reminded me of Samsung, it reminds me of kind of like older school Samsung that I just never cared for. It's always reminding you of things. Oh, by the way, did you know that you can do this? It's just like, shut up. I just want to use my phone.
Yeah.
I do agree with you there, Jason. That's a very good point. So Flo, what do you give it? 1 through 5.
I would also give it a 4. I agree with Jason about the UI. It's just I'm disappointed that it's such a chore to get. First of all, it's such a chore to set up the phone. If you set it up kind of blankly without bringing over your things, and even if you do bring over your things from another phone, you have to go in and do a little bit of configuration, change the home screen so that you have an app drawer, and then you got to hide some apps. And, you know, the first 5 minutes after I had set up my Google account, the phone is yelling at me to set up Facebook. Your friends are probably on Facebook. Guess what, buddy? I left Facebook like almost 3 years ago. What are you doing? Leave me alone. I don't like that. But it is an important reminder just kind of where we are at with regard, like this is what we get for these kind of carrier exclusive, like this is what we have to deal with. And to add to that, the AT&T bloat, I mean, I appreciate that HBO Max was already installed on there. I am paying for it through YouTube TV, but it didn't need to be on there kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of stuff on there that doesn't need to be.
Well, there's too much bloat, but I also chalk that up to the AT&T. The phone I got was, you know, in partnership with AT&T, and there's a lot of, you know, like I joke because the DC Universe app is on there because DC is owned by AT&T now because AT&T owns Warner Brothers.
Right,
same reason why HBO Max is on there. So it's kind of back. It falls in the same carrier bloatware category that I got away from going to OnePlus that I forgot exists and is just as bad on Verizon. So, you know, bloat is a thing. So we got to ding it. But to move on, I also give it a 4 for design. Really close, really strong. But all the bloatware, the UI stuff and the smudgy background. So, all right. So that leads us into performance. Jason, how did this phone perform for you?
I got to say, realizing that the OnePlus Nord was the first device that I had used with the 765G. The LG Velvet also has the 765G. On the Nord, I felt like that processor was screaming fast. Like, I felt like it was as fast as I needed it to be. Very rarely did I run up against issues where I felt like it was not a top-of-the-line premium processor. On the Velvet, I feel differently. Like, it's probably impossible right now as I'm doing, you know, this show to kind of show it. You can kind of see it in scrolling through some things and everything. But there were just times where I'm using this thing and I'm getting this janking, juddery sort of thing that is just really apparent to my eyes. And I didn't get that on the Nord, and I do get it here. And I guess the only thing, you know, that I can kind of chalk that up to is probably the heavy-handed, the LG skin approach. There's just so much customization going on here that I think maybe it handles the processor. Oh, I gotta apparently plug in my camera. There's just more for the processor to manage. That's my guess, but I wasn't too happy with that, so I gave it a 3.
I would also echo your sentiments that I did find it. And it's funny because we talk about the bloatware and the stuff in there. So there's like a Game of Thrones game in there and Final Fantasy and like all this sort of stuff. So I was tinkering around with it. And as I was popping from app to app and I, you know, play a little bit of the game and then pop over to Pluto TV and watch a little video and then pop over to a browser and do stuff, the more I used it, the more I saw it kind of dragging its feet a little bit. And I chalked it up to doing things that were, you know, kind of heavy on the data connection and heavy on the processor stuff and that sort of thing. But then then, you know, as I continued to use it, I would see that kind of jittering that you mentioned, Jason, and that sort of thing. So it really kind of bugged me in that regard. But that said, I did not find it unusable. So I would go a little higher and give it a 4.
I think I might have to agree with Ron there, because I didn't get time with this phone to really like put it through its paces, but I did use it kind of for some things that I usually use a phone for, which is kind of going through. I used it to like write some text, and I used it to take photos, and I used it to kind of play some little like mobile games that I like to play. And I even used it with like Infinite Painter because I wanted to try out the stylus support. And those things, I mean, they worked in the app when it was running very smoothly, but it definitely, like, compared to the V60 ThinQ, there was a little bit of a, it's like this slight noticeable delay, if that makes sense. The kind of thing that you feel with like a mid-range phone. And it was especially apparent with the notifications, because it would ping and then the notification would come in. If that makes sense. It was like, you know, it wasn't this instantaneous sort of feature. So I'm going to stick with the 4 as well, because I think it's fine for an average user, but maybe power users aren't going to really find what they want here. So.
All right. Okay. So moving on to the camera.
We're going to tabulate at the end. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to tabulate at the end. Yeah, I'm keeping track of this. And also to give a little background, you know, like you can go to all the blogs and sites that we talk about here, and we often have a lot of writers from come on the show. They put it through the paces. They do all those crazy benchmarks and all this sort of stuff. I don't have time for that, and also don't care about that stuff. I just, you know, so like when we were talking about what matters to us, it's, you know, we said it's the design and feel of the phone, how is using it, performance, and then the last category, which is the camera. And so looking at the camera, I feel I had mixed results with the camera. I love the crazy wide, large aspect range. You can set the camera to do, 4x3, 16:9, 1x1, or full, which takes the full aspect ratio. I took all my photos in full because I think that's crazy and awesome. And it also offers, you know, 4x3 at 48 megapixel. And there's a bunch of different options within the camera, similar to how, the Google camera offers, where there's a portrait mode. And of course, you can take video and all that sort of stuff. If you're watching the video, Burke is showing some of the photos that I took in my on my patio and in the apartment with it. I thought that it picked up light really well. I thought it picked up colors. I took some of my kids' toys pictures to see how colors would pop and try to do some, you know, kind of focus, out of focus kind of effects and all that sort of stuff. But in looking at it, I just felt the pictures were just lacking a little bit. And I don't know if that's my inability to actually be a good photographer or not. But even under the portrait mode, there was a bunch of different kind of novelty modes that I played with. You know, there's 3D photo effect and cartoon background and sketch background. I did the 3D photo effect, and I found like the little 3D motion, there was all this digital noise on the photo, and there was a lot of artifacts and things like that that were happening. And as I zoomed in and looked closer, I saw that was happening on more and more photos. So I did have mixed results with the camera personally. Flo, did you have similar results or?
Yeah, the thing about LG phones, or at least the last batch that have come out, is that the photos are just like good enough. But when you try and do anything specialized, like a portrait mode, you start to really understand that there's so much work that goes into the camera app to kind of get the desired effect that you would on like a Google Pixel, right? This is not shooting photos akin to what I have seen of the Pixel 4a. But it's good enough. There's fun stuff on it. I had uploaded a little video that I had taken of my always on display, by the way, just because I'm very pleased with the Sailor Moon logo. But as far as like photos go, they're fine for social media. They're fine for like general archiving, but it's not, you know, it's not the best camera that you have is the camera in your pocket kind of phone, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yep.
Jason, how did your experience go?
Well, so this is weird. I'll do my review through the camera app. I agree. Cameras are okay, right? Like the primary camera, I would say it was good enough for, I like how you put it, Flo, like pretty good for social media, let's say. If you're going to really be, you know, getting in there and analyzing the pixels and everything, it's probably not the right camera system for you. The primary camera is okay. The wide is a bit fuzzy when you do pictures with the wide angle. The camera interface, again, like I think this goes back to kind of LG's approach just not really working for me, but there's just certain things about it. I find it that in some ways it's similar to what I'm used to on the Pixel, but then in other ways I would have to tap a couple of times just to like to get things to register. And I'm not a huge fan of some of these other portrait mode things. I don't know. It was rather unimpressive. Especially because it's really hard to compare in this price range. And this is actually more expensive than the 4A or the 3A. And, you know, from that, you know, it's $599 for this phone. And still the camera system is nowhere near what you get out of the lesser expensive 3A and 4A. So it's fine. But I don't know, if I had to give it a number, it'd be a 3. It might even be a 2.5, but I'll give it a 3. I'll go ahead.
My score was a 3 as well. Flo, where do you come out? Number
yeah,
wise.
Same thing. 3. All just right. Squarely in the 3. Much better than LG used to do, though.
Okay. So I will say, and then I'll throw it to Flo before we wrap up, and I got to tabulate these numbers. I did put it in the dual screen case, and first I showed my wife, and that the little display popped up, and she went, "Whoa!" And then I showed her the dual screen, and it literally blew her mind. And I showed her all the different ways it can work and the gamepad and all that sort of stuff. And she's like, "Well, that's basically like a laptop." And I was, you know, so that then spurred a discussion about how we use phones and what is the use case for this phone. But Flo, what you went deeper with the dual screen kind of aspect of it. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, what I really like about the dual screen is it brings me what I really want, which is the Surface Duo. I've been eagerly awaiting this device to come out. And so this idea right here, just like the thinness of the phone coupled with the way that I had mentioned they had redone this dual screen, it's not as thick as it was with the V60 ThinQ. I thought that was a little too like dense. This is a little lighter to it, and it feels like, you know, it really feels, you guys remember those Casio like digital diaries they had back in the day? Had one. It was, you know, aqua themed colored, and had a little virtual pet on it. But it feels like that in terms of like, this is something that I would just throw in my bag and have as a dual screen device. And things I used it for, as I mentioned earlier, I tried using the LG keyboard app to do the whole dual screen typing thing where you have like the keyboard on the bottom display, the heavier kind of end, and then you have the screen on top. I try to do that with this Markdown app that I like to use. And it just was not, it just wasn't working out the way that it would on one of those Casios back in the day with physical QWERTY keyboard. I kind of ended up like tap typing, like having just one finger at a time to tap out. And I was like, I'm not getting anything done with this. But if I wanted to, I could just flip it backwards, have it stand up like this. So the way I have it for those listening to the audio is it's the flip case bends backwards so that you can actually kind of prop it up. And what I would do is I would just pair it with a wireless keyboard and get work done that way. But it's still missing some things that I think would really help make use of that dual screen. It's got the same little widget as the V60 ThinQ, which you tap and then it gives you a couple of like different modes that you can use, which is great. You have Google Apps that you can use with the dual screen, kind of have it expand. I did that with Chrome, which is great. There's a couple other browsers in the Play Store that do this. But because the ecosystem is so small and limited in terms of what I can do, and I know that companies like Microsoft, which are putting out a device in due time, they are working on their own development to kind of make the device have apps that work with it that way. It's hard to see the true value of a dual screen outside of, well, this is neat. So that's just kind of where it is. It's like, I still think it's super neat. I'm probably still going to toss this into my purse when I go and like we've been doing this thing where we'll take like a quick little drive and then I'll hang out in the car with the kid while my husband goes and like get something or whatever just to get out of the house. Just be a great little thing to carry around. Have my little e-reader on there. I have, you know, other little bits and bobs. So it's, again, it's not a required part of the phone, but it certainly adds little value to it. Just a little, though.
I will say that the way it sits in the device, it does in the dual screen, mm-hmm. It's not easily popped out. So if you're going with this, you're committing to this. And it's not the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, I don't want to carry, because it does add a significant amount of bulk and weight to the phone, which we previously said was light and smooth and very, you know, kind of handy. So if you want to kind of go between the two, you're going to find yourself wrestling with it a lot more than like to the point where I'm like, am I breaking it? Right. Because it snaps in there pretty hard. But that said, Flo, you're absolutely right. It's a cool little novelty. And if we commuted ever again, but like if I had an hour long commute, this would be a great commuting device. This would be like sitting on the train, reading, watching something, actually getting some work done. Like I could see it being a neat device for commuting. So cool. All right. Well, to wrap this up. We overall, the three of us give the design and feel a 4. We netted out on performance a 3.6 with a line over it, and we all gave the camera a 3. And so the dual screen isn't something that we'll rate. That's just a little kind of note about this. Yeah. So that gives the phone an overall, the first official All About Android 3 view review gives the LG Velvet a 3.5. Which I feel is appropriate considering like the three of us.
Total.
Yeah, 3.5.
I feel like that's a pretty fair rating for this device.
Yeah. So if this connected with you, Flo, how much would this phone plus the dual screen cost?
It would cost around $700 to get the whole package. It's $599 just for the phone itself, which is already kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
I was pulling my collar for those listening to the audio. Yeah. And then the extra screen would be an extra $100 or so. I'm sure they'll have a deal at AT&T or something. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
I'm also seeing that the dual screen attachment, is it $199 or is it $99? Maybe.
If it's $199, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah. There's no way it's $199 because it does not oomph, you know.
Yeah, right. Is it worth $200? Is it worth taking? Like I'm looking on a Verge article and it's saying it's $199, but maybe if you're buying this through a carrier, they might have deals to get that price less.
I can get like 2 computer monitors for $200 more. So that's why I'm very like,
yeah,
you know,
if you want one of these with the dual screen and it's going to cost you $800, that's you're thinking twice on that.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Interesting. That's not good. All right, but for the device itself, 3.5 is what we came up with, right? And I think that's super fair.
Yeah, I think
that's
fair. And I think LG is onto something with this dual screen situation, but I really feel like if they want to make any sort of moves in the Android sphere, if they want to be kind of regarded the way they were mere years ago, they really need to focus on that interface, focus on buttoning down that camera hardware. I think one of their biggest things was always to have that raw mode and the manual mode, and that is kind of, you know, awesome for people to tinker with. I feel like just focusing on that and making the dual screen a little more of a permanent part, make it feel like more of a permanent part of the phone, would kind of really help down the line. So
yeah